So the title for my homily this morning is Cruciform Love. In today's gospel, you will have heard mention of a lawyer. And I don't know if you're like me, but if you think of a lawyer, you think of a barrister who works in concert with the judiciary in order to be able to interpret and apply the laws of Canada. That's not the kind of lawyer that is at play here. This lawyer would be more like a Bible scholar, and he was particularly attentive to the first five books of the Bible. And so we see here in this story, a lawyer comes to ask Jesus the question, so which is the greatest commandment? And it's helpful that if you know that the lawyers who studied the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, came up with 613 laws. And so of these 613, he's asking Jesus, which of them is the most important? To which Jesus actually says there are two. And just for you to know, Jesus isn't kind of just making this up as he goes. He's actually quoting from the Old Testament. The first and greatest law he'll quote from Deuteronomy. The second law from the book of Leviticus. And so this is what he does. He turns to what's called the Shema. And Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. This was, for the Jewish people, the most important verse in the Old Testament. And now Jesus is reiterating the point when he quotes the Shema, but you'll see he makes a slight differentiation. Let's hear it first, though, as you find it in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Now, here's the interesting thing. When Jesus restates the Shema, he changes it slightly. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Well, that's the same in Deuteronomy. And not your strength or your might, but with your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now, the question is, why does Jesus change strength to mind? Well, I'm not sure, and I didn't find any commentary that gave me a good answer either, but this is kind of what I'm thinking. Because in Jesus, the Word is made flesh, God has become one of us, and God has actually spoken through the Gospels into our lives, in a new way we are to love God with our mind, because of the revelation of Jesus Christ. St. Paul understood this. And in Romans chapter 12, which comes, of course, after Romans 1 to 11, and what's Romans 1 to 11 about? It's all about the incarnation, about Jesus becoming one of us. And then in the 12th chapter of Romans, listen to what St. Paul writes. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you might discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The Catholic tradition loves the mind. Within our understanding of the faith, think back over 2,000 years. Philosophers, theologians, musicians, artists, scientists, all of them deeply in love with Jesus Christ and using their minds to love the Lord. So too, we are called to the same kind of love. But Jesus doesn't just quote Deuteronomy chapter 4. For the second part of his answer to the lawyer's question, he goes to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this is what I want you to see this morning. As Jesus takes those 613 commandments, laws from the first five books of the Bible, he says, love is cruciform. That is, it has the shape of the cross. Might be hard for you to see, but in the middle of this cross is represented a bishop. And I have this cross up here intentionally because, in a sense, the bishops represent the church. And it is through the church that Jesus says we come to love God. We come to a right love of self and love of neighbor when the church is truly living out her life and understanding her vocation. So indeed, we can affirm that love not only takes the form of the cross, but notice what else Jesus' teaching shows us. Love, as he describes it, is the Ten Commandments. The first three commandments have to do with love of God. Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 6. Then the next commandments have to do with loving neighbor as self. What is the fourth commandment? To love your, honor your parents, to find in your home a place where you are nurtured and loved. And I know this doesn't always happen, but this is God's will, so that in the home, a person learns from the first time they belong, that they are loved and that they are grounded and established. And then thirdly, of course, the commandments as to how we treat one another. Do you see how Jesus is doing something so simple yet so significant and profound? That all of the 613 laws, he says, all of them can be summarized in these two, and then he would have us understand as well that love is Trinitarian, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. When I teach children in schools to make the sign of the cross, this is what I say to them. I say, take your right hand and put it up high. And then I say, put your hand on your forehead. And then I say, this is the love of the Father. The Father loves us so much that Jesus the Son came all the way from heaven down to earth and into our hearts. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he poured out his love on the whole world. The Father loves us so much that Jesus the Son came all the way from heaven down to earth and into our hearts. And by the Holy Spirit, pours out his love on the whole world. That is the law and the prophets. That's the whole meal deal, if we can put it that way. And so, here's the thing about our life. To be a Christian is to live a cross-shaped life. This is a sculpture by Michelangelo of the crucifixion. And what we are to do is we are to offer ourselves to God totally, just as Jesus gave a real and full self-offering. Now, you can be a nominal Catholic, but I don't want you to be a nominal Catholic. I want you to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And a disciple is someone who's learning to be disciplined, learning to listen to the Lord, being converted by the Holy Spirit so that we become more like him. Now, with this in mind, see how our first and second readings reiterate these two commandments. We have a beautiful psalm. This is, again, a statue by Michelangelo. This is David. David, the great lover of God, the songwriter of Israel. And in today's psalm, listen to how David celebrates that he loves God above all else. I love you, O Lord, my strength. I call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock, and shows steadfast love to his anointed. To be anointed is to know that we belong to God. To be anointed is to be a Christian, to be Christ. That's what the word anointed means. And here I have an image of Pope Francis, who at the Chrism Mass blows into the oil of chrism to symbolize the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And at every baptism, at every confirmation, at every ordination to the priesthood, at every consecration of a bishop, the oil of chrism is used, the oil of anointing. And so David knew that he was an anointed one. And because of that, he said, God, I love you with all my heart, all my strength. And I am coming to know, too, that I am loved in turn. Now, what about that reading that Grace did from the Old Testament? This comes right after the Ten Commandments in Exodus, in a part of Exodus that's called the Book of the Covenant. And in the part of the reading that we heard today, we have three things highlighted. Love for the most vulnerable. Love for the alien. Love for the widow. Love for the person who is an orphan. And love for the homeless poor. Do you see how the Bible, do you see how the church on this Sunday brings these readings together in such a simple and yet profound way? And the church has taken the Book of the Covenant from Exodus and distilled it in what are called the corporal works of mercy, of which there are seven. Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, visit the sick, visit the imprisoned, and bury the dead. Love is indeed cruciform in shape. And when we come to the reading from Thessalonians, this is St. Paul's first letter, written around the year 51 AD. And in this letter, Paul is so excited because these people in the Greek town of Thessalonica, who had been worshiping false gods, have now started to love and worship the true God. And the Holy Spirit is so inspiring their lives that their good works, the way in which they are loving, a love that is cruciform in shape, is being heard and celebrated in other parts of the Roman Empire. So, we are called to be a people whose faith is practiced with fervor and with love. And here at St. Peter's, we truly want to grow in learning to love God, to love ourselves, to love others, to be a church that is missional, to be a church that knows that we are called by God to cruciform love. But, as you well know in the running of your household, such a thing requires money. And just so you know, the Bible talks a lot about money. And the Bible has a lot to say about how disciples give sacrificially to the work of the Lord. One of the clearest expressions of this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where St. Paul writes these words: "The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, the word for cheerful in the Greek is the word hilarion, from which we get the English word hilarious. So what Paul is saying is God loves a hilarious giver. It only happens with conversion. It can't happen with, "I'm holding tight to my pocket because my money is mine." It only comes when we see that, yes, what an exciting thing to be part of St. Peter's, to be part of a community that wants to continue to grow in cruciform love. Here St. Paul says, using the image of seed, if you put just a little seed in the ground, you're not going to get much of a crop. But if you put a lot of seed, your crop is going to be generous. St. Paul liked to mix metaphors. So I'm going to do the same thing. The metaphor that I'm now going to use is firewood. Firewood is to the church what our money is to the ministry of the church. No firewood, no fire. But the more we learn to contribute out of the gifts that we have, then the fire of God's love can burn warmly and brightly. So, beloved brothers and sisters, I am here to tell you, with 10 Sundays left in this year, we at St. Peter's are experiencing a fuel shortage. Let me tell you what I mean. We have, as of October 20th, 1,043 identifiable givers. Total amount received to date from all receipts is $924,000 and change. The average donation of these people to this point of the year is $886. Let me unpack this a little bit more. Our budget for this year is $1,254,800. To reach this goal, we need to raise between now and the end of the year $330,000 and change. Amount needed per week over 10 weeks is just over $33,000. Now, let me unpack this a little bit more. And this is really good news. Remember a month ago I talked about Together in Action? At that point, we'd only raised $20,000. Our goal is $74,862. We have now raised $57,998. So in the last 4 weeks, you have contributed almost $40,000 to Together in Action. Thank you very much. To reach our goal, we have to raise another almost $17,000. And if these identifiable givers each contributed towards that, it would be $16 a person. Now, let me move on to our building fund. We'll be talking more about the building fund next year because this is a significant area. Our goal for this year is $269,000, almost $270,000. Given to date is $142,600. Remaining to goal, $127,303. Again, with those identifiable givers, each would need to give $122. And then finally, operations. Our goal is $910,000. To date, $723,735 has been given. In order to reach our remaining goal, we need to raise $186,265 of these identifiable givers. That would be $179. Now, I don't expect you to remember all these numbers, but I want to share them with you so you understand our position. But now, look at this number. If all of these givers contributed to this between now and the end of the year, do you know how much each contributor would have to give? $317. It's not an onerous task, but it does require everyone's involvement. Now, there might be some people here today for whom you'll say, Father, I can't give that. I totally understand that, and I honor what you can give. There might be some here today who says, I can give way more than that. And I want to challenge you that if you are in a financial position to contribute to St. Peter's, this is a critical part of our life and of our ministry. And so, in conclusion, let me just summarize in this way. Oh, just to mention, if you want to be able to give online, you can just go to our website and just go to Donate Now or Donations, and then it's very clearly laid out as how you can do that. We also have in the pews a text to give, and we also have tap to give at the door, and of course we love checks as well, so that they can also be offered. So now, in conclusion, I want to see St. Peter's evermore become a community where it's not the money that's at the heart of it, it's the fire. But in order for the fire to burn brightly, in order to be able to pay our staff, to be able to maintain these buildings, to do everything that's required for ministry, everyone is invited to participate in whatever way you can. May we have the fuel needed for the fire of love, so at St. Peter's we can grow ever more in cruciform love. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for distilling all of the commandments of the Torah, that is the first five books of the Bible, to these two. We look to your example to inspire us to follow your generous love so that we may be cheerful, hilarious givers. May each of us here be guided by the Holy Spirit to give lovingly and generously as we are able, so that the fire of love will be fueled and we can meet our budgetary goals. Most of all, Jesus, it's my prayer, I pray it's our prayer, that at St. Peter's we want to express the warmth, light, and love that is shaped like your cross. Come, Holy Spirit, guide us, lead us. Jesus, we pray in your name. St. Peter, pray for us.